Live in the is. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Live in the is. How many of us would love to live in the is? None, actually. To live in the is to live absolutely unaware of human attitudes, beingness, expressions, life. To live in is means that there is no judgment. All things are. To live in is means that all things exist for their own personal reason, for their own individual reason, for their own unique reason. Personal, individual, oftentimes mean human, but for their unique reason, they exist. And we have no idea. Let's just take a light from the star. Wherein does the star get the light in the first place? What starts this glowing furnace within the star that sends out the light to all the world? And in that light goes 365 degrees around the circle, this way, that way, everywhere, up, down, in, out. And yet, whenever that light reaches a distance, whatever that distance may be, on a unilateral basis, the starlight is equally as bright wherever it may be on that 365 global stretch away from itself. That light exists, it's an is, but that light is the same as the light that came from the star. That light is the same as the light in the star. That light is the same as the light out of the star. However many billions of light years away from the star it may be, it is the same light. Now, scientists want to give us figures and say that that light will exist for so long, and then that light had burned out many billions of light years ago, and we're still seeing it because it takes time for it to reach this distance, because the scientists are saying there is space, and that light is traveling through space from its timelessness as it is in the star to the point of vision that we have of it here. Space has been traversed, and in that space it has changed its composition, it has changed its allness, it has changed its isness. Well, I rather think the star, the light of the star that we're talking about, the light of the star in the star, and the light shining from the star, and the light that we see here of the star are all the same light. And they're all, if we were to be really knowledgeable, they're all the same intensity. All we are recognizing is that it is more widely spread. You take a flashlight and you shine it out into the area in front of you as you're walking along, and it's very nice. And then you put a wide beam on that flashlight. That same amount of light is spread over a wider surface, and it is not as intense as a light that is directed on a single small surface, small area. And we say that the intensity of the light is not the same. We say that the light on the spread beam is less intense than the light on the close beam. Who's saying that? Is that really true? Can the light ever change from whatever it is? If the light is the light, it's always the light. If the light at its creative source, if it has a creative source, as an is, the light at the creative source and the is that it is at the creative source is as unilaterally, uniperfectly powerful there as it is at any other, and we cannot say location for there is no space, but at any other location where it is. So, if we look at the light here on Earth of a star out there, and we see that light. That light is as strong here as it is out there. It is as warm here as it is out there. It is as brilliant, beautiful, fantastic as it is in the is. Can the is ever change its awareness of itself as an is to being a stretched is or a condensed is? Can is ever be brighter or less bright? Can an is, speaking of it as being the light, or a light, or the light of the star, can the is ever be more than it is, or less than it is? Can the is ever be expressive in one way in one area, and expressive in another way in another area? And the statement is, that must follow, an is always an is. An is will always be all that it is. And an is will never be more than it is, nor will it ever be less than it is. An is always all that it is, wherever it is. Now, that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. That mouthful has boggled the scientific mind for many, many years. That mouthful has boggled the theologians. And many theologians have looked at that concept and said, it's true, but how can it be true? Well, ours is not to question why. Ours is merely to recognize the fact and be aware of it and live in harmony with it. Do you know why the principle of mathematics works? Do you know why light cast upon something is a reflection of something else and something else, and yet it's the same light? Do you know why there are so many stars in the sky? Do you know why the Big Bang Theory happened or didn't happen? Do you know why anything is or anything is not? Do you know why? Well, I don't. I do know that I know that I know that I know. But I have no interest, I have no intense interest at the moment to know why light exists. I have no intense interest at the moment to know why a star exists. I have no intense interest at the moment to know why anything is. The fact that they are, and that they are and is of itself, for me, satisfying. Now, it takes the minds of these people who are great thinkers, the geniuses, the nerds, the people who dwell on the level of superconsciousness, who dwell on the level of wondering why things are. If every being who ever thought would only think that all things are, or they are and is, if every one would think that, and then from that postulate work away to whatever conclusion they want to find, the conclusion would be correct. But we are working from a postulate that says something is so that we don't believe is so, and we don't know why it's so, to something that is so. We are saying we can see because the light is. And another would say the light is, therefore we can see. But because the light is, we cannot see. That's not a necessarily foredrawn conclusion. It is a conclusion that a literal mind might take into account, but it has no bearing. We see all things because we choose to see it. Now, think about it. Close your eyes and see what you want to see. Now, do you have to have the ability to see it in your physical vision to understand what's going on? In your dreams at night, are you aware of many exciting adventures taking place? Are you aware of many things happening, of many places that you visit? Are you aware of many people that are active in your life? These are people who are active doing whatever you're doing. And these active people doing what you're doing, they're doing it. And there's no saying that, well, that is the is or not the is. and that is relevant to the is or not relevant to the is, germane or not. We wonder just what's going on. Well, these are the things that people who are not satisfied with thinking ordinary things think. They want to dwell on the improbable, impossible, on the unknown. They want to look at things for what they think they should be. If you ever think to yourself, why does light exist? Well, does it exist for heat or cold? Does it exist for for vision? Does it exist for whatever? Who knows what light exists for? Is life light universal? Is it always there? Well, we are not privy to that information at the moment because we have not allowed ourselves to think that we know all. But if we allowed ourselves to think that we know all, we would think that light is and is, and it always is, always will be, and light will have ramifications to it because it is light. Darkness will have ramifications to it because it is darkness. The absolute philosopher is always dwelling on fantastic topics, always dwelling on things that are improbable and impossible to prove or anything, but the absolute is aware of all that is because the absolute is and is in itself. And the is that it is in itself is that it is aware. And that is an isness too. Now, what do you want to know of the universe? What do I want to know? Do we want to study science like the scientists do? Do we want to study psychology, philosophy? Do we want to study humanity? What do we want to study? Whatever it is we want to study, you can be sure that it is fascinating, charming, imaginative, exciting. It's up to us what direction we want to go. The direction that I, as an absolute philosopher, choose to go is whatever thoughts enter my mind, I entertain them right then. I entertain them as an undifferentiated is. I entertain them as something that is just charming to think about, charming to consider. It is of no importance. Importance only insofar as it's charming. But it does not have to be. And I can stop thinking any moment or start thinking any moment. And whatever it is I do, it's wonderful. As an absolute philosopher, I have the ability to enjoy every single thing in my universe because I created it. Wow! If I created everything in my universe, then I should know all about it. Yes, that's true. That's true. Since I created everything in my universe, I should know all about it. Well, let's consider that another time, how we should know all about it. For truly, dwell on light, dwell on sound, dwell on space, dwell on time. Dwell on all these aspects, features that we have so blithely bantered around and know so little about. It's a fun journey. Enjoy it as much as I do, and I enjoy it heaps and heaps and heaps. I love you. I love you. I love you.